Well, good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. If you have your scriptures with you, please turn to the Gospel according to Luke. We're in Luke 5 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 16. Let me pray. Father, Lord, we thank you again for this time to worship, to pray, and to hear from your word. And so, Lord, we thank you for giving us this word, this interaction with this man full of leprosy, and how you showed such grace, such power to make him clean again. And so, Lord, we pray as we look at these things that we would examine our hearts and the leprosy, so to speak, within it. All kinds of sin that easily entangle us, for sure. So, Lord, we pray that you would awaken us again to Christ's power, his grace, and our need for cleansing that's found only in him. So teach us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Luke 5, verses 12 to 16. While Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face, and he begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more, the report about Jesus went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Here ends the reading of God's word this morning. As we've been walking through Luke, we have seen Jesus' power and authority on display. Last week we saw it over nature as they were out in the boats and they caught the largest catch of fish they had ever seen or heard or experienced as the nets were breaking and the boats were sinking. We've seen him have power over demons as he silences them and casts them out of people. We've seen him have power over diseases and healing with just a word. This morning we'll see Jesus' grace and power and authority on display with someone who is unclean. It's interesting as you look at this text, the word diseased is not used to describe the situation. Physical ailment is not used to describe the gentleman's situation, but one who is unclean. It was leprosy, and we will talk about this condition as we walk through our text. But as we begin to think about this physical healing, we will begin to see that these healings also point to the spiritual healing that we need in Christ Jesus. Though you may never get leprosy, in a spiritual sense, we are unclean before God and need cleansing. Some of us see it, it's very apparent in our lives, and many of us are blind to it. In my younger days, when I was involved in youth ministry, before I became more claustrophobic, we took a youth group caving in Bear Rocks in Ligonier. It's certainly quite an adventure. You had to navigate small spaces. You had to communicate with those behind you of what was ahead, for you could hardly see with the flashlights you even had. You had to crawl on your hands and your belly through these little tunnels with rocks all around you. And when you got to a certain point in the cave, you could turn off your lights and you couldn't even see the hand that was right in front of your face. But what was really revealing at the end of the caving trip, when you started to see the light at the end of the cave as you drew closer and closer to the exit, and you began to see the dirt and the filth that was all over you, from your shoes all the way to the top of your head. Then once you got out of the cave, you could fully see and you would notice each other how filthy and unclean you were, and there was no way you were getting back into your vehicles dressed like that. It's a picture for us to understand that our sin makes us unclean and isolated before God, before others, even with ourselves. Some of us see it thanks to the light of Christ by His Holy Spirit, and other of us, we're still blind to it. It's like we're still crawling around in the cave in the dark. King David, when he was confronted with his sin, he has a great psalm of confession in Psalm 51. And in verse 10, he says this. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." As the leper in our passage cries out to Jesus, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." With our hearts awakened to the rottenness of our sin, may we cry out to the Lord, "Create in us a clean heart." We need the Lord's cleansing. We need the Lord's forgiveness over our lives. And examine your heart this morning with these questions that I found from Paul Tripp. He says, ask yourself these questions. He says, why are you impatient with your spouse, with your kids, with your parents, with others? It's because you have an unclean heart. Why do you say those things that you shouldn't say to others? It's because our hearts are unclean. Why do I wrongfully get angry in situations and the people around me? It's because we have unclean hearts. Why do I struggle to be content? Why am I not motivated for the glory of God? Why do I doubt His goodness? Because we have unclean hearts. We are unclean and isolated before God and others due to our fallen nature and our sin. But there's cleansing. There's restored fellowship found in this one willing to make us clean. With humbled hearts, with total dependence on Him, we go to Jesus for this cleansing, for this reconciliation, for this restoration, for this forgiveness. As point one says, leprosy is a good picture of what sin is in our lives. In verse 12 it says, while he was in one of the cities, there was a man full of leprosy. Leprosy was a slow, progressing, incurable skin disease. Some think perhaps a severe form of psoriasis or Hansen's disease. It was chronic, it was infectious, it was characterized by sores, by scabs, with white, shiny spots under the skin. It's believed that perhaps there were 72 different kinds of diseases that would fall under this category of leprosy in biblical times, some severe, some not. But in the case of this gentleman, in our text it says he was full of leprosy. It wasn't just on his hands. It wasn't just on a spot here and there on his face. He was full of leprosy. It's like a living death for him. The Old Testament provided specific guidelines for the examination and treatment with those with skin diseases. You can find those in Leviticus 13 and 14. If you had to show yourself to a priest and he would examine you, and if you found to have one of these diseases, you would have to isolate. You would be deemed unclean, and you would have to go away from the camp in case you were contagious. Not only was leprosy a disease, it made the leper as well as anyone else around him ceremonially unclean. And just imagine waking up one morning and noticing a spot and you know what you're supposed to do. You have to go to that priest, and he has to examine you, knowing this might be the last time you see your spouse or your kids for a long period of time. You know, we get upset when we see a pimple in the morning. This thing was devastating, life-changing for sure. Not only was the physical problem terrible, but it was the isolation, perhaps, which was the worst. We experienced a taste of that with COVID the last 2 years, right? With the isolation, with the quarantining, and not being able to touch those we love and hug them. We get a taste. Not nowhere near as dreadful as this. Someone who had leprosy had to dress and act a certain way. They would wear their hair loose. They would wear loose clothing. They would cover their upper lip, and they would have to announce unclean. Unclean. And he had to live outside the camp of the people. It was devastating. And where did it come from? Sometimes it was just the result of the fallenness of the world. We get diseases and all kinds of things just because this world is broken due to sin in general. But other times we see in Scripture it was a punishment from God. See it in 2 Chronicles and Numbers 12, specifically with Miriam, Moses' sister. And he pleads that God would heal her. One thing about leprosy, you knew you had a problem. There was no way to hide it. This man knew he had a problem. There was no way of suppressing or denying it, so often as we do with our sin. This man knew he was unclean. It's a good picture of what sin is in our lives. R.C. Trench, he says, it's an outward and visible sign of the innermost spiritual corruption within our hearts. J.C. Rao writes, he says, what are we but spiritual lepers in the sight of God? Sin is the deadly sickness by which we are all infected. It has eaten into our vitals. It has infected our faculties, our heart, our conscience, our mind, and will, and all are diseased by sin. From the sole of our foot to the crowns of our head, he writes, there's no soundness about us. Such is the state in which we are born. Such in a state in which we naturally live, we are in one sense dead long before we are laid into that grave. That's why Paul, after he's awakened to his sin and he's wrestling with sin, even as a believer, as one who's been cleansed in Christ, there's still that nagging sin that we wrestle with. He would cry out, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, Christ Jesus. We are unclean in our sin. We are isolated from God and others and from ourselves, and we need his healing. We need his cleansing. We need his forgiveness. I know you don't have leprosy, but we all have sin. And it can isolate us. It can separate us from God, from ourselves, and from those around us. Even as a believer, one who is in Christ Jesus, if we're meddling around with sin, we can see how it affects us and our relationships around us. It's just not the same until we deal with it with Christ. We are unclean, but there's cleansing in Christ Jesus. And leads us to point two, that we must understand Jesus' power and grace and love to clean us. It says in our text, when this gentleman saw Jesus, he fell down on his face and he begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. This leper was tired of being isolated. He was tired of dealing with this. He shouldn't have been out. He shouldn't have been out walking around trying to find Jesus, but he had to. He somehow heard about the things that are going on with Jesus and his ministry, that he's healing, that he's casting out demons, that somehow this one is the answer. He knew that there was no other, that he had power and grace and love to forgive him, to cleanse him. That Jesus, this Jesus, he could approach him. He could draw near to him. And he falls on his face and he begs and he pleads, "Lord, if you will, Lord, if you will, make me clean." He understood the desperation of the situation. He knew the desperation of his condition, and he knelt and recognized the sovereignty of the Lord. He didn't command, he just simply prostrated himself down. "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." God is holy, and God is righteous, and God is just, but he's also a God we can run to, that we can draw near to with humble and contrite hearts. When you see that nothing else can save you, when you see that nothing else is greater, when you understand that you have no hope except Christ Jesus, you can draw near to him. James says, God gives us grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. A lot of times in our sin, we try to hide, like Adam and Eve. We try to ignore, we try to suppress. But it's those who are honest, humble, and contrite. God says, come on. Let me take care of you. Let me cleanse you. Let me forgive you. Let me empower you to overcome. As Hebrews writer says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. Forever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. And he writes again in Hebrews 10, therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up through the curtain, that is through his flesh, since we have such a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We can approach this Jesus who can clean us by his blood, by his life, by his death, by his resurrection, and we can draw near with confidence in Christ. We are unclean, we are isolated, but there's cleansing and reconciliation in Christ Jesus. And point three just simply states, Jesus welcomes and cleans his people. In verse 13, it says, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, saying, I will. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. We see Jesus' grace on display here for sure. He didn't tell the gentleman, stay back. He didn't say, your sins are too many. He didn't say, you are unclean, go away. But he stretches out his hand. He could have done it with a word. Stretches out his hand, touches him. I will. And immediately the leprosy left him. We don't know the last time this man was touched. If he had a spouse or children, when was the last time he was able to kiss them on the cheek or give them a hug? Our Savior could have healed him with a word. But Jesus is full of grace. You know, did he touch his head? Did he touch his hand? Did he touch his back? We don't know, but he touched him. I will be clean. As J.C. Ryle writes, he says, we see in this passage our Lord Jesus' power over incurable diseases. A man full of leprosy applies to him for relief, and at once he's healed. This was a mighty miracle. Of all of which can afflict the body, leprosy appears to be the most severe. It affects every part of the constitution at once. It brings sores, decay upon the skin, corruption in the blood, rottenness into the bones. It's a living death with no medicine to check it or stop it. And yet here, the leper is made well in a moment with a touch from the hand of the Son of God. And Jesus does it with us, with our sin. The same touch of Christ he offers to you for your sin, for your isolation, that you can be clean and welcome to the forever family of God. As Isaiah 1:18 says, come, let's reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they're like red, crimson, they'll be like wool. Jesus is the oxyclean to our sins. Spurgeon said, when Jesus says, I will, he says, the I will of an emperor may have great power over his dominions, but the I will of Christ drives death and hell before him. The I will conquers disease, removes despair, and floods the world with mercy. The Lord's I will can put away the leprosy of your sin and make you perfectly whole. And the same God who tells us we're unclean through Christ says you're beautiful and clean and you are welcomed. You must receive this healing. You must pursue Christ for this healing for your sins. And we see lastly that our cleansing is complete in Christ's life, death, and resurrection. He says in verse 14, he charged them, don't tell no one. Go and show yourself to the priest. Make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof for them. This man has to be overjoyed. He probably wants to run home, hug his wife if he has one, hug his kids, high five everybody, whatever. He just wants to go, but Jesus says, no, go to the priest. That same priest who declared you unclean, you go to that priest and you show him. Show him how it's gone. And then make the offering that's declared in the Word of God. Take those two birds and sacrifice the one bird and take the bird and have the priest dip it in the blood and let him sprinkle you, declaring you are clean. And then offer the two lambs found in Leviticus 14 of how someone was to be declared clean by this priest. He says, go do that. And these sacrifices would declare him clean to the community. He's forgiven, no longer in isolation. And thus, as we know, these sacrifices point to the complete and full sacrifice of Christ. Christ came to seek and save the lost. He came for the unclean like me and like you. As Hebrews says, he's able to save the uttermost, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one in every respect, has been tempted like we are, but without sin. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and grace in our time of need. We must go to him. There's no other hope for our sins. There's no other hope for our cleansing. There's no other hope to be able to stand before the holy God except through Christ, who is willing to make you clean. As David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. As the leper in our passage cries out to Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. With the hearts awakened to the rottenness of our sin, let us go with humility and repentance to Christ and receive that cleansing. As the old Gaither song says, shackled by heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, the hand of Jesus touched me. Now I'm no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. We are unclean. But you can go to Jesus and be washed. Washed forever by the blood of the Lamb. Seek him daily. Seek it and know it for all eternity. seek Him as you continue to wrestle with those things that you want to put to death in your life and be washed by His grace and forgiveness and His love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that You would take these things and impress them on our hearts and our minds, and that we would believe. Lord, we pray that You send Your Spirit into our hearts and our minds and convict and comfort, restore, regenerate, renew afresh, to think of this amazing grace, that we all enter this world unclean and broken, don't know so much, but Jesus, You can make us clean. You give us a righteousness that's 100% pure to our account, 100% holy. Lord, give us Your Spirit to fight against those things that ought not to be in our lives. Lord, bless Your people, we pray. Amen.